Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
www.ballyballyradio.co.uk brings you the latest Bollywood news, updates and film promos.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show
on iTunes.
Now shake hands with celebrities on Singapore talk show, Carry On Harry.
Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.
Hi friends, welcome to yet another show with your talk show host Harry Johal. Today we have a very special guest who is joining us from Texas. He is not just a book author who has written a book, but he is also someone who has laid the foundation of music legendary singer Beyoncé. Well, the book is titled Making of a Child of Destiny, The Andretta Tillman Story. According to Mr. Brian, this is the true story of Beyoncé and Destiny Child rise to fame. So hopefully through these talks with the author, we'll be able to know more about the life and time of Beyoncé, her rise and the rise of the Destiny Child band group that was formed. So let's get in connection with Mr. Brian K. Moore.
Hello. Harry.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Mr. Moore, welcome on Carry On Harry Talk Show, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Well, you know, I was going through the details about your book and, you know, a lot of things and curiosities are involved in my mind also. And I'm very much sure that you are pretty excited also to share your story about writing of this book and, you know, the incidents that has happened and which, you know, prompted you to write this book.
What prompted me to write it? What prompted me after all these years was the story of what really happened and how Destiny Child and Beyoncé and everybody got started to change dramatically to where it was just that Matthew did everything and where the rest of the team was left out. So I just felt it was time to, you know, set the record straight.
Okay, fine. Yeah, because Beyoncé, the whole world knows how, you know, she has risen like, you know, phenomenon. And behind the rise, there are people, you know, they are always involved, you know, who support in the initial days and you being one of them. And I am very much, you know, I do understand your point of view that, you know, there are some things always, you know, if you are not being given some kind of a credit or, you know, their people don't acknowledge your contribution to the rise of a person. So, sir, tell us, like, how are you connected with, you know, the rise of Beyoncé and, you know, before we really discuss about the book itself?
Okay, well, I originally, you know, I'm from Houston, Texas, where Beyoncé is from, and I was brought into the fold by the lady that the book is about, Andretta Tillman, and she created the group back in 1989, when Beyoncé was 9 and the other girl, the oldest girl, was like 12, and from there, she and I, we managed them, and they became Girls Time and managed them all the way up to the point where her daddy joined the team. And then they became Destiny, then Destiny Child. And Andretta died in 1997. So we had just completed recording the first album with No, No, No as the lead single coming out. And so we were there all the way through, negotiated the Elektra as well as the Sony deal Andretta did, along with my help.
Correct. So, sir, would you like to tell a little bit about, you know, how closely you have worked with Andretta and, like, what kind of influences had been on your life about, you know, the person about whom you have also, you know, written in the book?
Okay, well, me and Andretta, we were the best of friends. We met like I say, back in 1989. I was working with a couple R&B groups in the U.S. at the time, and she was putting everything together. But we worked hand in hand to manifest the careers of Beyoncé, Kelly, and the rest of Destiny Child. And we, like I say, it was an everyday task, and she invested, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to get them to that next level.
Correct. So before writing of this book, I'm very much sure, you know, a lot of questions would have been also in your mind, you know, that what things you would like to disclose and what things you would, you know, hesitate to write about. Because every success stories has got, you know, a lot of good things to write about and a lot of bad things to write about. So as an author, like, how challenging was it for you to, you know, reach a stage where you were able to decide what should be written and what should not be written?
Well, there were so many people and so many things that could have been written, and I did not want to write the book to where it came across as being a vindictive book, or, and then at the same time, I didn't want it to come across that I was glorifying them even more. What I wanted to do was write the book as best I could with the recollection that I had of the events that happened, so the reader could get the full understanding of what happened, and that the reader, you know, would know the struggles. They would know the upsides, the downsides, and that it was not just a easy journey that we woke, that Beyonce and the girls woke up one day and were superstars. There were some struggles that went on, and I want everybody to know the behind the scenes, so, you know, you have a better appreciation of all the girls of what they went through, as well as Andretta, of the sacrifices and suffering she endured to get them to their place in the sun, their fame.
Absolutely right, because everybody deserves recognition, and especially, like, if a person has, you know, had such a phenomenal success, and it's not like one person's efforts alone, actually is a whole teamwork. If whole teamwork is dedicated, and since you have been closely, you know, associated with her, Andretta has been closely associated with her, so each one of us, along with the, you know, the contributions from her father, everyone should be given, you know, proper recognition. And so I have a curiosity to know about, you know, your book, The Making of a Child of Destiny, the Andretta Tillman story, versus the information that is circulated all over, you know, in the newspapers, in the media, or on the internet, you know, comparatively, how different is the two information, something which is coming from your pen and something which is, you know, which has been written by the media? Because after all, media has also been following all these celebrities over the years. So where is the difference actually?
Well, the difference in my book and, you know, what people write in the media, I wrote a firsthand account. I was there.
Correct.
You know, nobody is telling me of these events. I was there. I watched it happen. I watched Beyonce, you know, where a lot of people think Beyonce was the original lead singer. She was not. You know, I was there when Beyonce took her first steps to become a lead singer and thus, you know, catapulting herself up. So the one thing that's different for this, my book, is it's a firsthand account. You're going to experience what happens behind the scene, you know, with the girls, with Matthew Knowles, with Tina Knowles, with Andretta, with myself, and the struggles and the different things we went through. You're going to have a firsthand account. You're going to be ringside for the show.
Yeah, in a way, you know, sir, what I was thinking was I would agree with you, because media normally follows stars only once they become stars. So whatever they do, you know, the paparazzi or whatever is there, you know, they come to know about all this information through fans. And so media can be, in a way, you know, having a picture which is, you know, after the success of a person. But your account about Beyoncé has been something which has been like her initial days before when nobody knew her. So, sir, let's dig a little bit deeper into the book now. Would you like to tell us a little bit information about, you know, early days of your association with Beyoncé, like when you first time met her, like how it was, and, you know, the initial days, so that, you know, my listeners who would be, you know, prompted to buy this book, The Making of a Child of a Destiny, the Andretta Tillman story, they know that what they are approaching to buy it, you know, a sense of curiosity about the book itself.
Yes, well, the early years, when I first met Beyonce and the girls, was at a picnic that Anne, once I came on board as a manager, Anne set up a picnic for me to meet all the group acts, not just Girls' Time or Destiny Child at the time. So, you know, when I met all of them, they were just great young girls excited about being in the music industry. And the main thing where me and Beyonce specifically became close, we used to travel back and forth to California to do recordings. And so I would, along with Andretta and the other lead singer, Ashley, we would travel together exclusively. So that was a time where, you know, I got it to experience Beyonce growth and the type person, you know, kid she was. You know, she had great values and things, and was just a hard worker and was determined this was something she really wanted to do. So, you know, the book is just telling the story about everything from you know, them going to California, you know, who gets selected, you know, at the auditions, you know, how Beyonce becomes the lead singer, you know, what happens there, how Matthew comes on board, what was the life experiences that Kelly had that you know, ultimately the people, you know, speculating about, and you know, now they'll get to read it in the book, you know, what happened with Latavia, you know, there's some words that, you know, about her being molested when she was young. So, you know, the book goes over everything. I mean, we don't leave out anything. We tell everything firsthand of what happened. So, I mean, if the reader wants to know and are fans or not fans of Destiny Child and Beyonce, you know, this is something so you'll know and appreciate them from now on. I mean, you'll appreciate them, the success they've been able to achieve.
That's a great piece of information, you know, related to the book itself, that what aspect of Beyoncé's life would be reflected and what aspect of Destiny Child's rise to fame will be associated with the book. So, sir, while you were writing, did you come across any like, you know, writing blocks? You know, like sometimes when you think about, you know, narrating an incident about a successful person's life, and, you know, the media has painted a very different picture, and you don't want to involve any, like, controversial, you know, stuff popping up later on, you know, like law, litigation and all those things, you know, people accusing that this information is incorrect, what's that been stated in your book. Were you very thoughtful about this aspect of, you know, the controversial side of the incidents which has been reflected in your book while you were writing, or did you compromise a bit?
I was concerned about you know, what I was saying. As I said, I didn't want to just create, you know, come in and bash anybody. Yeah. But I wanted the events and what happened to be known. I did not have a writer block. Actually, I wrote the outline for the book in 1999, 2 years after Andretta died, and. It was just some events that I explained in the books that came along, different people coming back, asking me to help them, you know, in music and different things when I had walked away. And then so when I, you know, it was just events that, you know, the reader will find out in the books as the events unfold that almost forced me to, you know, okay, hey, let me tell what really happened so these people, you know, the world would know.
Correct. Since now, so you have already mentioned that you walked away, may I have the pleasure of knowing what was the basic reason, you know, that you separated yourself from you know, Destiny Child?
Well, as the reader will find out, and it's public knowledge that, you know, Andretta Tillman died of lupus in 1997. And then shortly after her death, there were some events that transpired that, you know, I'll, you know, let the reader find out, you know, in the book. But there were some things that transpired that I felt I had gone as far as I could go with them. The girls, like I say, you know, they had soundtracks and different things. The first album was out. And it was just time for me, I felt, to go in my separate way. And when I did, you know, I've been very successful in technology and as far as the internet and the impact that social media and radio is having to the internet. So it was just time. And as you know, it's time now that I return.
Correct. The book content itself, sir, what is the stage, you know, where your book concludes at? You know, because it's a story of someone who is living. You know, what stage was it that you concluded your book at?
Well, I concluded the book at you know, it tells Andretta's story, and then it tells the events that happen and, you know, what happens to the creation of Destiny Child and then Destiny being fulfilled. And then so basically it's bringing everything back full circle is where the book ends.
Correct.
You know, yeah, where we started. It talks about where we started. And then ultimately, you know, some pieces falling back into places to where we all, you know, come back, you know, and to a common place. not that we got back together, but we just come back to a common place of peace.
Correct, sir. You know, you might have also received, you know, some kind of reactions from, you know, the family of Beyonce, or, you know, from Beyonce's own her, like, statements coming about. Anything that you found, you know, that, you know, people have tried to bring you down, you know, in terms of the stated facts about your book, especially since it involves Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles,
right,
in the book itself.
The content of the books have not been challenged. I mean, because, I mean, I am who I am. I was the other manager. I was the other co-owner of Music World Management. We all started that together. So that piece there can't, you know, really can't be disputed. The only issue that's really been is that, you know, getting the mainstream American media to pay attention to it, it's, you know, as if, you know, Beyonce is, you know, this icon that they don't want to damage in any kind of way. So, you know, they're hesitant about, you know, really going digging into the book. But, you know, and you know, they'll find that it's good and bad. But.
Correct.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
So a lot of time people, you know, don't want to hear the truth. So the biggest thing has been, surprising is the media. So, like, we had a magazine article that came out in France, and immediately some of the U.S. I mean, the American media said, "Oh, hey, what, you know, there's something fishy about this article." So it's just been things like that, and, you know, it's wherever the article, anything is mentioned about the book, because, you know, it's very, you know, some details in there that, you know, is good and bad for everybody.
I got your point, sir. But won't it be, like, you know, good thing, since you have been very closely associated with Beyonce? What if she, you know, you really, like, you know, talk, like, on the table, and, you know, come to a point where, you know, she endorses the facts about, you know, her childhood days, her rise, you know. Have you ever, like, thought about this aspect, that probably then the media will also be more open, especially the American media, you know?
Yes. I would love it if, you know, if, you know, B, once she reads it or whatever, I mean, you know, there are some details in there that she, because she was a kid, you know, through most of this, you know, there's some details that she didn't know, and she's going to find out that's going to be surprising to her. I would love it if she read it, and you know, her reaction will be, you know, I think she'll find it fair. It's, you know, it's nothing to just, you know, go in and bash her or anything like that. It's just the events and the facts that happen.
Correct. And did you put up some initiative, you know, on this, you know, idea that, you know, maybe you would have thought about, you know, before releasing of the book itself, that you should have, you know, a kind of made an approach to meet up with Beyonce and, you know, put up the facts in front of her, and, you know, and then, you know, reach out to a stage where, you know, both of you agreed that, okay, this is a book about, you know, your perspective about Andretta Tillman's story. Did you ever think about this thing?
I thought about that, but, you know, you got to understand there are over 20 books out there about Beyonce life.
Correct.
And all of those stories paint a picture of people looking from the outside, and they're writing about what they're being told to write. This book is about, you know, it's the only book about being on the inside, you know, that's ever been written about Destiny Child and Beyonce. And did I think about the approach? Yes. And even the publishing and all that, we thought about, because, you know, word got back, you know, different word come that, you know, hey, you know, they may want to shut the book down and things of that nature. So I wanted to tell my friend's story, and I felt it was time. So I didn't feel I needed anybody permission to tell the truth.
Correct, sir. Got your point. So, sir, right now, since you are already marketing this book, what kind of feedback has been coming from, you know, people and fans of Beyonce and Destiny Child once they, you know, they read the book and, you know, they really approach you to, you know, give their opinion about the book itself? So would you like to share any of the feedback, you know, from positive aspect or from the critical point of view?
Well, initially when the book came out, I'm glad you asked, that's a great question. When the book came out, they, you know, it was getting bashed, you know. I mean, even before people had even read it, they were like, oh, you know, this book is going to bash Beyonce. I don't want to read it and all these different things. But the blessing and the great thing that happened was that there were those that read it. And a lot of the blogs that were coming back to me, or people messaging me and emailing me, they came back and said, well, I appreciate you writing the book. This is a great book. I learned a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know these things happened. I didn't know Kelly went through some of the things she went through and all that. And so the great thing about it is the people that were bashing me early are now some of my biggest fans as far as, you know, supporting the book. So, I, like I say, it'll take you on a journey and let you appreciate, you know, Beyonce and Destiny's Child even more.
Absolutely right, sir. And how was the reaction of media? I'm very much sure that, you know, writing about a personality like Beyonce, who's, as we earlier mentioned, is an iconic person, and media and journalists would have a lot of curiosity that they wanted to, you know, read your perspective since you have been closely associated with her success. Yes, it's of course that people have read your book, you know, those media people have read your book. But has anybody come forward to, you know, critically write about it or, you know, appreciation or some kind of an appreciation in the media itself?
Well, I've had, you know, other writers who there were some writers that are written Beyonce autobiographies or biographies that have written me and congratulated me. And thank me for the book and how well that it was a great read and things of that nature. Everything that we are hearing from the book and from the media is the people that have read it is very positive. They think it's a great story. And, you know, we've even had talk where people, you know, are talking about possibly, you know, making it into a movie. So it's slow going, but it's moving. Like I said, you know, you got to understand, B has such a great following that, you know, we're not going to be able to convert everybody over to want to read this another part of her life.
Absolutely.
Overnight.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a slow uphill climb, and we're prepared for that.
Absolutely right, because after all, you know, it's not easy to convince everybody about your part of the things. You know, even people are criticizing even, you know, the masterpieces of the world itself. So controversies and, you know, critics will always talk about it. Something which is good according to your taste might not be good according to the other person's taste. So it's just a two point of view, and we have to, really accept the facts and move on ahead. So right now, sir, apart from, you know, releasing and, you know, marketing of this book, what are the other aspects of your life that you are, you know, involved with? Since you have been very closely associated with the music industry for so many years, and what is all happening around in your life right now?
Well, right now we're back in the studio. We got a couple new acts coming up. In fact, I'm working with and I partnered with Andretta Tillman's son, her oldest son. Mm-hmm. We're now partners in the music industry again, like he and me and his mother was. So we have some nice act. One act coming up is named Physique. He'll be coming out in 2015. We're working diligently on that album. And still working a lot with internet companies and building apps and different things like that. And coming up with, you know, like I say, the social media impact on the music industry and things of that nature. So being very busy, but, you know, keeping all of my
correct
avenues open.
Okay, sir. So you have been, you know,
you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there, sir. What's going on right now in my mind is, as you were telling me that you are still associated with music industry and you're going to introduce in 2015, a lot of listeners, you know, they might be also having curiosity of knowing, you know, that a lot of like artists and new artists come on my show itself. They would like to know, you know, what exactly, you know, a person requires to do, you know, if he really wants to make something like big in their life. Yes, there are so many artists and there are so many, you know, great artists, but they don't have that name or fame coming up to them. They are still, you know, struggling with the independent form of music. They are trying to market themselves. But what, according to you, is one thing, you know, that an artist should always consider, you know, apart from creating the music itself?
Well, the one thing that I think that artists should always consider is to be true to what they're doing. And then from there, you know, you can't just be the show. It's called show business.
Correct.
So you can't just be the show and not know the business.
Wow.
But you have to know the two. You have to work the two. And once you become knowledgeable of the business piece, it'll be an easier transition for the artist to gain exposure and not be taken advantage of. You know, because the industry, you're going to pay for what you don't know, whether it's in royalties or copyrights or just paying upfront money to go record. You pay for what you don't know. And, you know, I think that, you know, the artists nowadays, you have a lot of avenues, and you have to take advantage, and you have to invest in yourself. And like I said, in the social media, these different apps and, I mean, websites and different things, you need to take those chances and get that exposure out there. Because, you know, it's not like I could create a song and go to the club at the corner and only 20 people hear my song. Now, if I create a song, the world is my oyster. And I think the artist needs to start looking at it as such. Any avenue you have to get somebody to listen is an opportunity for somebody to buy your material or become a fan.
Correct. Another point, sir, which is striking my mind right now, as you know, were telling me about the internet world and all. According to you, sir, is it name and fame, you know, easy to come nowadays in comparison to the time when, you know, Beyonce as a means entered into the music industry, right, you know, in the beginning days? Because nowadays YouTube is there, and you know, other avenues are there where people, you know, they are able to, you know, showcase their talent. And it, the music is something which people are nowadays creating also on their computer. It's just with the keyboards. So what is your perspective about this aspect of, you know, creation of music and, you know, marketing through social media channel and, you know, getting an instant fame? How is it different from those times?
Well, the old people from where I'm from, Mississippi originally, and they used to always say, easy come, easy go. You know, so I think it speaks volume for itself when you have an artist like Beyonce that went through the struggles, went through, you know, a 20-year career, you know, from the time she's 9.
Correct.
You know, a lot of people look at her like she's just been around 10, 12 years, but Beyonce's been in this, you know, almost 20 years, you know, here, give or take 5 years. I think the big difference is, you know, back then it was you did the work and then you slowly got feedback. Now everything is instant gratification. I can upload something to the internet, people like it, then I'm instantly a star. But that is fleeting, because my next offering, you know, they're not really fans.
Hmm.
You know, because it's just like, I hear a song, I like a song. They're fans of the song. They're not fans of that person because they don't know that person. But when you come along like Beyonce came along, people knew her and watched her grow. So you feel invested in her. So now you're a fan for a long time, and she's going to be around a long time. So that's the big difference that I think, that, you know, you really don't build a true fan base. You're just you're the hit for the moment.
Correct. So absolutely right. I agree with you and your statement, you know, what comes easy goes easy is something, you know, which is wonderful. And that was, you know, something I really enjoyed about this thing. And of course, followed by the great advice from you that, you know, that a person really needs to be dedicated. It's easy to get name and fame, but to sustain it is something, you know, which really requires a real talent and hard work going behind. And since you have been instrumental in the rise of such a great artist like Beyonce, you have seen her life closely, you have seen the struggle, the inputs that these great artists put into their work to reach the heights, the pedestal heights where they have, you know, reached, and today they are iconic figures and the world wants to imitate them, world wants to follow them. And coming an advice from somebody like you, who is having such a tremendous amount of experience and who is a close witness to the reality of, you know, of a phenomena. So I think my listeners would, you know, greatly, you know, appreciate your this effort. And I'm really, really honored, sir, that you shared such a wonderful advice on Karyon Hari Talk Show. So, sir, before we end up today's show, I would like to give my platform of Karyon Hari Talk Show to you. Anything that I missed and that which you feel that I should have asked you and you really want to speak about it, sir?
Well, I just want to say to your listening audience that the story is a great story of triumph, of heartbreak, of Andretta Tillman. She was a phenomenal woman that I think, you know, will, and a mom, wife that will, you know, touch her soul. And it's such a touching story and the triumph that came with it. And you can reach us. And we're also looking for artists, especially, you know, in the Asian market. You can reach out to us at www.dousic.com or dousic.net. And just drop us a line, and we'd love to, drop us a CD or something or a track, and we'd love to hear it and give you our honest opinion.
Wow, great, sir. It would be like a lifetime opportunity for anybody to, you know, go through, you know, what you just now shared, that if they really want to, like, make it big or something, they have dreams of pursuing a career into the music field, and something, if they get associated with your company, I would think it's a very, very humble offer from you that, you know, you want to, you know, invest your expertise into making up the career of, you know, these youngsters who would be listening to this show. So, overall, sir, how do you find to, you know, come on Career Harry Talk Show? Did you really enjoy today's talk?
Harry, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and anytime you want me to call, come back, please have me.
Definitely, sir. I would love to, you know, get you back on this on the show itself. It was really an honor for me connecting, sir. With that, sir, I thank you very much, and we'll be meeting up very soon.
Thank you, Harry. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for being in tune with Best Talk Show, Carry On Harry, with entertainment editor Harry Johal. On BalaBalaRadio.co.uk, inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.